you can really see the body as sacred, then, you know, it is very physical. I mean, Allah is manifesting in our bodies, through our bodies. So, and we are seeking Allah also with the body. That's what's so amazing about the zikr, you know. It's really the worship with the body and with the song, the voice, then all really aspects. Nothing is let out. This is also why they say the salat is so powerful, because it's said to combine all aspects of praise in the creation, in the entire creation. So it's again like an essentialization. I don't know if you know that the Prophet saw it in his ascension. You know, he saw each of the seven heavens, and in each of the heavens there were angelic beings worshiping God in a certain posture, and all of those came together in the Salat. So all of that together, all seven heavens, it's interesting, seven levels of worship became the Salat. And it's said also to form the name Adam, you know, the Adam, the Alif, Dal, and Mim. And in the sitting posture, which is, in a way, the most exalted. Even though we're said to be in the prostration, the closest to God, the closest to Allah, is the prostration, because that's really where we disappear. So we don't lose the separate sense of self. Everything disappears in the prostration, really. But in the sitting is also exalted, because that is really the station of closer than two bow lengths, when we sit on back on our knees in the tayyatu, which is comes from that experience, from the atayyatu lillahi. This is the greeting that was given and the response. So that's, next time you're offering salat, when you're in that position, just see yourself in the, as closer than two bones. See yourself in that station of ultimate intimacy. And as you stand, see yourself as the pen. You know, the pen which writes. This is why the Quran is spoken. It's only spoken when we stand. You're not supposed to recite Quran as you bend down. I mean, we say, you know, words of praise, but the Quranic verses are really in that upright position of the aleph of the pen. So, alhamdulillah, the salat is exalted. That's why, but it's so exalted that, you know, it carries a weight. It does carry a weight to it. That's why we can feel that. And that's why it can't be forced. You can't tell someone to make salat. It's, I think, a terrible transgression. It said one of the worst sins is sin against truth. It says that's one of the worst things, to sin against truth. That's like when you say something untrue, because but in a way, when you coerce, it's also a sin against truth, because it said truth does not need coercion. And that's the beauty of the, if really, the true religion is adhered to, it's totally different from what we're seeing. I mean, maybe not totally different, but so different that it's almost unrecognizable. If the true, deep precepts are followed, then, you know, it's almost as though the religion itself would disappear. There wouldn't have to be that so-called outer cloak called religion. It's just that people would be moving through their life in ways of harmony and love, and seeking knowledge and seeking nearness to God and seeking God in each other and going to feed the hungry and drink to the thirsty. You know, this is a teaching of the Prophet. Yes. To Hazrat Sayyidina Ali, where Ali, asked him, what is the shortest path to God?
Yeah.
And the most noble and La the easiest. Illallah. And he answered, La ilaha illallah is the shortest path to God, reciting it, but at all times, you know, keeping it inwardly going and outwardly. And the easiest and the most exalted. So, alhamdulillah. That's why we chant La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Inshallah, we'll all meet out in that field that Rumi mentions, but we're, you know, beyond the religious borders and beyond the differences and divisions. Just as lovers of God, how about a religion called the lovers of God? You know, that's what Sufism is, supposedly. It's just the religion of the friends of God. That's really what it is. So, inshallah, the friends of God from all over will gather together and share their praises and their astonishment and their amazement at the beloved and the graces. We should really every day, you know, how Allah has graced us and essentially just to give us life and to give us being and bring us into this magnificent relationship of the One. We can never thank Allah enough, but also specifically how Allah has graced us. This is recommended to make these, this is a form of contemplation, you know, when you ask, this is one of the contemplations, contemplation of gratitude and, yeah.